just in the everyday, me and you. Good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and the name to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. He's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Marquette program, Joe Marquette.
Well, now we're live.
We were just talking about traveling overseas a little bit, and Pastor Dave's supposed to be going to the UK. When are you going?
Kind of toward the end of September.
End of September. I've never been to England. This is one of my. It's not quite on the bucket list, but because it's too far fetched. But I want to go fly to London, spend a couple of days in London, take the Channel over to France. Spend a couple of days in Paris, then rent a car and drive the whole south coast of France and then and into Italy. And like to do that for a whole month. I'd love to.
That would be great.
Wouldn't it? It'd be a wonderful trip. Now, Italy, the whole country is basically a museum, as far as I'm concerned. When you go there, it's just so beautiful. It's unreal.
It's gorgeous.
You know, and France isn't so bad either.
Talk about places where there's history.
Oh.
You know, significant history.
You know, and I think when Tom said, when you go into a church over there, it's not a church. They're all cathedrals, you know.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Some of them took a generation to build. I mean, it took a whole lifetime to build. And it's just magnificent structures. It's very, 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 very impressive.
Well, if you happen to be over there, if you have time, go to Ireland for a few days and do a tour around the... It's quite an interesting place.
Well, I hear, though, you're not allowed to leave the pubs.
You're not allowed to leave them. I mean, you may reach a point you can't.
There you go, but that's it.
But there's so much over there besides that.
Well, you know, all of Europe is fascinating as far as I'm concerned because they have history. You know, we got a couple hundred years, which ours is wonderful.
Yeah.
But boy, they have got thousands of years.
Oh yeah. So incredible.
And I like history to start with. But you know, when you go into these little walled villages that were, you know. So that the Huns or whoever was coming around couldn't get in, you know, the top of a mountain, they got this little tiny village, you know.
Right. But fortress cities.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Fortresses. 1-888-221-8990. This is Joe Martek. This is the Team Martek Hour. And there's no other team member here except our guest team member, the Honorable Alan Love, Esquire. Well, I'm throwing in all the platitudes I can about attorneys there.
You can keep on going.
Alan has been a special guest now for a year and a half, and he, you know, Alan, I got to say this. Other team members come and go. They don't, I mean, they show, but they don't show as often as you do. But most of them pretend they're working. You know, some of them are afraid I'm going to pick on them on air, you know, I think is the reason they don't show.
The only team member that's not here and is showing is probably going to be Victoria.
Yeah.
Because she's showing a house somewhere.
You know, and honestly, she was on her way to do a radio show. She'll call and say, I'm on my way, and she never shows. Well, a client will call her, mm-hmm. and she gets sidetracked, which is only right.
Sure.
You know, if you're in business, you should take care of your customers and your clients first.
Juan, well, Joe, we would accept a phone call from any of the team members while we're on the air. I mean, Mike Paulus has done that frequently. He's called 888-221-8990.
He has.
Do you like the way I got that in there?
No, it was pretty sneaky, but I'm used to you being sneaky. Well, you know, everybody that listens to the show regularly knows that Alan Love is my messy Jew. And just because messianic is harder to pronounce and much more difficult to spell. Messy is pretty easy, you know. But if there's a caricature of a rabbi, Alan is it. I mean, I will tell you this. All you need to do is wear a yarmulke all the time, and you'd be perfect.
Well, thank you, Joe. But I got some news outside that I want to spend a serious moment with you. Pastor Jonathan told me that his wife's Rachel's father has been taken to the hospital, and so I just want to pray and ask everybody to pray with me that God and Jesus heals him as soon as possible, and so he can get back home with the family. I know Father's Day is coming up,
absolutely.
In the name of the Lord's Son Jesus, I pray that this be done. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I will tell you, I begged for prayers for my son, and you know, my son had he was inches from dying, and he was at a point he didn't care if he died. Now, you know, that's he was right there.
Serious.
And that day that I prayed and begged, and I got to tell you, you know, there was a bunch of people praying. Mm-hmm. We had some people that called in, and his turnaround was pretty dramatic. And he's all back to normal. Well, you know, I use that word normal rather than good or bad.
Right.
Because everybody's definition of normal is different. But
it's his normal.
But his normal, yeah, he's back. He's doing stuff. My son, this is pure trivia, useless information, but when he was 17, he fell out of a tree, broke his back. He'd been in a wheelchair ever since. And in the family, we don't notice that he's in a wheelchair because he drives his own car. He does his own boat. He scuba dives. He just has a hard time going upstairs. So, Alan, you might understand that.
I do.
So... But the rest of us, we don't pay much attention to it. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, if we were together when he was a little younger, when we used to go upstairs, he would walk with his hands upstairs, and we would hold his legs from behind, I mean, like a wheelbarrow, and take him upstairs. Now, true story. So I was baptized over in Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida. And of course, if I'm going to go to church, everybody else is too. Now, teenagers don't usually... That's not one of their favorite things to do very often.
Not generally, you're right.
So he'd go because that was what it was happening.
Yeah.
Well, they taught him in the rehab to do a wheelie in his wheelchair, and you can go downstairs, ka-kunk, 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 and you don't want to watch this.
I know, it's
scary. I mean, this is a terrible thing to watch.
Yeah.
Well, one particular day, church let out, and I think he did this on purpose. He denies it. But he came racing out of church on a ramp that was, you know, elevated down full tilt.
Wow.
And then he fell, turned over onto the grass, not the concrete, not the cement. And, of course, all the old ladies were there, and he was very well taken care of.
I'm sure.
All the old women. And I thought, you know, Mike, you didn't need to do that. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Just in case it was an accident, but I know he didn't need to race.
Right.
But
yeah.
Anyway, just as things go, they do. Alan,
yes,
you have a thought.
I do indeed. Today the Federal Reserve made another rise of interest rates.
Quarter point.
Really didn't have much effect on the markets.
No.
And our new Federal Reserve Chairman was talking about the fact that the economy is doing quite well. As a matter of fact, he sounded quite pleased with where we are now. I like his style. This was the first time I got a chance to really hear him.
Yeah, I listened to him. He's not Mr. Excitement, but normally the Fed people are not. They're right. Pretty precise and analytical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alan Greenspan used to put us asleep because nobody could understand what he.
I'll get it.
Well, you don't want to roil the markets, that's for sure.
No.
And you know, I give everybody in 2008, 2009, because the one thing that didn't happen is there was calmness coming out of the Federal Reserve Board and Washington, even though behind the scenes they were worried that our economy was this far away from collapsing.
Yep. Well, when you hit that major recession, which they call it, they're, you know, the Great Recession, and mm-hmm. as opposed to the Great Depression, and there were some people that took extraordinary measures to correct the problems that were created, and it worked. That's the most important thing, that it worked.
Well, that even before the Federal Reserve Board, you know, going back in American history in the 19th century, when we had economic downturns that were severe, the big bankers and industrials got together and in essence put the economy back on track.
Sure. Well, you know, all it amounts to is, not that this is an important thing to the show, but right now the economy is humming along at a pretty good pace. In fact, supposedly as good as it has in the last 50 years. And wages are going up because, and this was an interesting piece of useless trivia again, but I was listening to Bill Clinton on the tube about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And this was at the time he was being interviewed or talked about his charitable trust. And somebody asked the question about wage inequality. And he said, oh, that'll take care of itself. And the person said, well, what do you mean it'll take care of itself? He says, well, what happens when unemployment is very high, you can hire really good people and not pay them much? Because there's tons of people looking for work, so you really don't have to pay them much. But all of a sudden, when unemployment gets very low, now they're begging for people to come to work, and to keep their good people, they have to give them raises because there's headhunters. There's other people out there looking for them. So the disparity in wages, and the Fed chairman referenced that today, saying it's not moving at a pace he expected. Not that it was negative, that the income, it's starting to level out where people are getting raises and people are getting, well, look at all of our mass merchants and so on. A lot of them are starting people at $15 an hour now. I mean, it's just, there's all kinds of good news happening out there in the economy, which leads me a little bit into our group. Our group started doing radio shows, and I say our group, we don't own each other, we don't work for each other, we don't share commissions or fees, we don't house together. Back when I first started trying to assemble a group, the concept was simple. I'm a financial advisor, called a stockbroker, a securities principal, lots of licenses, but there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything. And in my not too humble opinion, if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your client. So the very first two, one was an attorney, Greg Fasula, and the other one was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Why? Well, the main questions that would come up when I meet a new suspect or prospect was, do you have a will or a trust? And if they don't or did not, I would feel somewhat of a responsibility to say, hey, let's get the cart and the horse in the right order, because this is not a hard thing to do. Let me counsel you through it, because not only do you do a will or a trust, but you do a power of attorney, a health care surrogate in case you can't take care of yourself, and a living will in case you don't want to stay plugged in forever. And a decent attorney does all of these things at one time. But a lot of people just don't have the experience understanding how it works and why, so I've always felt that way. And then to try to find an attorney that what I would call user-friendly. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron, user-friendly attorney? I mean, you know, attorneys, Alan, you've never noticed it, but some attorneys have an arrogant attitude. They're a bit pretentious. You ever notice that?
Actually, I have.
And it's what I used to do let's say I had a client in South Stewart. Well, and they didn't have. I'd say, well, listen, I'll go with you, and we'll try to get this thing. Well, who do we go see, Joe? Well, I said, well, let me go interview some attorneys that are local. And I go look, meet them, and they're regular nice guys. You know, I'm talking, telling them I'm going to client. As soon as I show up with a client, all of a sudden their attitude would change. Here came, hey, I'm the attorney, you're the dummy, and listen to me. Attitude, you know, the arrogant attitude. Oh, I used to get so upset. And then, very often, the prices that they charged made me sick because I felt the, you know, you don't have to make your whole year on one person. You know, you should be fair. Well, I met Greg Fasula, and just by accident the same way, and Greg happens to be the only attorney I know personally I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's just a flat good guy, good person, good heart, a good caring person, a helping person, not arrogant, not pretentious. He's a good listener. I used to always pick on him. I said, Greg, they teach you that in law school? And he goes, no. And I said, but he is one of these patient, which doesn't sound, again, like an attorney. And he is a superb listener, and he helps people. And, I mean, part of our group, the whole concept was our mission here is to help people, educate you, to help you make better decisions, help your family any way we can. And it doesn't have to be any specific area of expertise. And I joke about this, but it's really true. If we add up our whole group, combined experience is roughly 200 years. I mean, that's a lot of experience that these professionals have. So started off with Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Independent's a big word because those of you that have lived through Hurricane Andrew, all of a sudden homeowners insurance companies were non-renewing or canceling or doubling and tripling rates. And if you were stuck with one of those companies, the poor agent, he represented only that one company and nothing he could really do. The independent, on the other hand, will have 20 or 30 or 40, or at least Dan does, so that if one falls out of favor, he can go someplace else. And that's the whole concept. He doesn't work for an insurance company. He works for the client and looks to do the best he can for that client. Now, most of us, the way you best you can do, when it comes to homeowners insurance, most policies are the same. They have certain forms, and most companies and most good agents use the same basic form. Well, that form can be an HO3, let's say, and that price can change from one company to another by $1,000, $2,000, sometimes $5,000 or $10,000 a year. Why? Just because it does. These are one of those things, no reason to ask the question, because by the time you found the answer, you'd fall asleep. It's a long, lengthy thing how companies can justify their prices. But the independent can move people. So he was critical. Then over a period of time, when the Great Recession hit, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, the word real estate became monster. Then were things called deed backs, foreclosures, short sales. Short sale was a brand new term that I had never heard ever until this last recession, where banks would allow you to sell your house for less than you owe and let you forgive the debt. So you can walk away with your head held high and you did the right thing, the best of your ability, because a lot of people lost their jobs or they got extreme cuts. All of a sudden, a house that you paid $200,000 for was worth $100,000. I mean, it was just a terrible time. All of us know that lived through it was not good. Today, things are very good in real estate and only getting better. And interest rates are still pretty low. They're pushing 5% now for 30 years, but just still, in my mind, is an extremely good rate, which brings me to Mike Polis, mortgage broker. And Mike has educated people and helped people like there's no tomorrow, because there's programs out there and always have been where if you qualify, you can have no money down or 3.5% down. VA is no money down. There's conventional mortgages. There's all kinds of different financing options. And one of the things that Mike does for people that is most impressive to me, in 15 minutes, he can tell you what you qualify for. Over the phone, you don't have to go meet him. It doesn't cost you a nickel. And that really is the way to own real estate. If you know you can only qualify for $1,000 a month payment, you're not looking at a $1 million house because you're never going to get a payment that low. So one is an equation, what you can afford and what you're going to qualify for. And if you have a credit problem, he'll walk you through it and show you how to cure it. It may take 3 months, 6 months, or even a year, but at least you have a plan so that you can buy buy some. Now, not everybody does that, but Mike does. So he's been a magnificent addition to the group. And he's like 25 or 30 years in business. Everybody's been in business a long time. Vince Rizzino, CPA. I mean, he has helped everybody in our group because questions come up from everybody when it comes to taxes, and everything in the world is changing constantly. The new tax code, I don't know if anybody has figured it out yet. Like anything, that when they simplify something, they only print another 30,000 pages or so. So Vince has been just a magnificent addition in helping people. Not only is he a CPA, he's also a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. And he was a college professor. So, I mean, there's some pretty strong credentials in this group. 1-888-221-8990.
There's one more thing besides the 200 plus years of experience. That experience basically is local experience.
Yeah.
These people have lived in the community. Victoria Lloyd, as an example, was here in 1980. So she saw the recession of 2000. She saw the Great Recession. And she's seen the boom times in real estate. And Vince Rizzino has been with you a number of years, seeing all the tax law changes, especially business tax law changes. And being a former prosecutor, I want to emphasize what you just said about Vince. A forensic CPA is a very big deal, because with that designation, he can walk into virtually any court and testify, and the judge and the attorneys will basically say, okay, you're an expert. And that saves a lot of time, for one thing. It's the reliability, the honesty, the integrity of something like that. I mean, you don't take an exam to become a forensic CPA or a forensic pathologist, whatever it is. That has a lot to do with who you are as a person, your integrity, your honesty, and your knowledge, obviously. And how good can you present the testimony of whatever side you're testifying on, either the plaintiff's side or the defendant's side? Do the courts have confidence in what you're saying?
1-888-221-8990. So you got Joe Martek, financial advisor here. Got quite a bit of knowledge in this head. We've taught quite a bit of people. I've taught Pastor Dave about a pizza.
I can't get it out of my head now.
Right. He made me up a cute cartoon or two, which I really appreciate. You know, but I've got to have, you know, I haven't framed him yet. I've got this woman at home. I said, did you get frames for those yet? Now, she's a junk shopper, you know, so she's, you're not worth more than a dollar as far as she's concerned. So she's waiting for these frames for a dollar. Which is fine with me.
Keeps my humility, Joe. That's fine.
But she spends $20 in gas going to these shops to save a dollar, which is okay too. You know? I would never complain about that. Yes, I would. But not. Yes, I would. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. Something that happens regularly, and Alan and I talk about this off air. When I talk to people about money, one of the things that is a constant thing are all of the different forms of retirement accounts. Now most of us have heard of an IRA, individual retirement account, and the government says if you're under age 50, you can save $5,500 a year in this retirement account, and if you're over age 50, you can put $6,500 a year into this retirement account, and that money is now tax deferred. You get to deduct it from your income. When you put that money aside, you don't pay tax on it now. The concept is when you retire and start taking it back, you are not going to be in the same tax bracket as when you're working, because normally you're working and you're making a higher wage, and you start taking that money out. Now, the rules are for all retirement accounts, and I'm going to use that word all carefully because there are a few exceptions. That if you take money out of a retirement account before age 59 and one half, there is a 10% government penalty plus whatever the tax is. So the concept of a retirement account is not to take money out until you're, quote, retired. Government picked this number of 59 and a half, and nobody knows how they came up with that, but that's their number. Then, if you don't take money out of this retirement account. When you turn 70 and one half, the government says, okay, now you have to start taking it out. And they have a formula. And basically the formula says you have to take out around a little bit less than 4% this year. When you turn 90, you've got to take out roughly 10% of what's in the account. And when you're 115, you're supposed to take your last dollar. Now you have to live a long time to make it there. But bottom line is they have a formula that increases every year. They want you to take the money and not necessarily pay tax, but it could be, it's subject to tax. Mm-hmm. Some people can take quite a bit of income retired and pay no tax because of deductions and exclusions, etc. But at least those are the rules. Then there are other forms of retirement accounts that allow you to put more money than the $5,500 or $6,500 a year. As an example, if you work for a company and they have a 401k or a 403b, you often can put as much as maybe two times or even three times that amount of money aside. And very often the company, whether it's a profit or a nonprofit, will match a portion. So let's say you make $50,000 a year and they match 3%. That means you put $1,500 into that account, they put $1,500. That's called 100% return. You can't get 100% return, but you can if you have a company that contributes to your 401k as long as you do. Now, many of them have what they call vesting. We call it golden handcuffs, meaning you can't have their money unless you work for them for a period of time. Some vest like 20% the first year, 40% the second year. Then after 5 years, you're vested. They figure you've worked long enough that 100% of their money and yours you can take. Now, what you can do, let's say you leave that company, whether it's a 401k, a 457, there's defined benefit plans, there's what's the nonprofit?
403B.
403B. There's also 403As. There's all kinds of letters and numbers that basically are all going to say the same thing. Don't take money out before you're age 59 and a half. When you turn 59 and a half, you can take it out. It'll be subject to tax. When you turn 70 and a half, you have to start taking it. Now, some of them allow you to put in a considerable amount of your income. As an example, if you're self-employed, there are certain programs that might allow you to put up to 50% of your income aside for retirement, and you don't pay tax on it now. So a lot of times people have, what, let's say, a good year. If you're in real estate, you know, they're realtors and they're really doing well. They can then put a good chunk of their money and not pay tax on it now. And then down the road, when they retire, et cetera, then they can start taking it out. So there's different formulas. All plans, whether it's a company plan or an individual plan, whether it's a profit company or a nonprofit company, at some point when you leave that company, or even before sometimes, you can roll it away from the company plan and put it into your own plan. Why would you do that? Well, some companies want you to. They don't want you to be in the program unless you're working there. Number two, most company plans have very specific investments that you're allowed to be invested in. Some are not my favorite investments, some that I've looked at. I don't think you're doing the right thing by being in some of them. But once you move away from there, you can take that money and put it in the bank. You can go with a stockbroker. You got all kinds of different options that you can go. So the key thing is to get a bit educated so you understand the right things to do. In fact, Alan, what I was talking about, some of these companies have age-weighted investment options. And they say you need to be in this one because you're 50 and it's the plan age-weighted. Now, the way they do this, a portion of the money goes into stock and a portion of the money goes into bonds. Well, that can work, but it doesn't work very well when interest rates are going up, because interest rates go up, the value of bonds goes down. Now, that almost makes no sense, right?
It does to me now.
It's because I taught you.
Yeah, you did. You taught me well.
Well, you see? Okay. You ready?
Yes.
So how does that work?
So that when interest rates go up, the value of bonds goes down.
Right.
Because, let's say you bought a bond at 5%.
Okay.
Right? And interest rates go up to 6%, no one's going to want a 5% bond.
There you go.
And so if you want to get rid of it, who are you going to find that will take a 1% less income on a bond.
And if you do find somebody, they say, okay, I want you to discount it 1% a year for the next 10 years so I get that 6% yield. So
that's right.
That's exactly right. Now, the reverse is true when interest rates are going down. So now you've got that 5% bonds and interest rates go down to 3%. Everybody wants your 5% bond.
That's right.
So they'll pay you what's called a premium. But we are into an inclining interest rate economy, have been for the last couple of years. Looks like we will be for at least another year. And what happens is those of you that have lived long enough have watched our government decide if we're doing too well or not well enough. And they rate... Don't you love it? They raise interest rates to slow down the economy. And they sometimes lower interest rates to spur the economy on. Well, right now, again, they raised it today, a quarter of a point. They expect this year to be a 3 or 4 times raises, meaning 0.75 point or 1 point total. And then they're talking about what is the right number. Most of the people that I'm listening to, and Alan, probably you, it's somewhere between 3 and 3.5 or 3.75% is what they consider the right number that interest rates should be at.
But it's not an exact science.
No.
The Federal Reserve tries to do their best in meeting their mandate. One of their mandate is to maintain full employment. The other part of their mandate is to create inflation.
Right.
Beyond a minimal level of around 2%.
2% is their magic number. Nobody knows how they came up with 2, but that's their number. And there's all kinds of controversy about that number, too. There's all kinds of conversations, and, you know, everybody's an expert. Just ask them. But most of us have no control. Our thing is, how do we acknowledge what's going on, learn from it, and make the most intelligent decision we can? And that's a part of what Alan is also not only an attorney, but he's been a financial advisor, which means he's securities licensed. But I'm supposed to give the phone number again because Pastor Dave just flashed the card that says phone. Luckily, I can read.
I'm so happy about that.
1-888-221-8990. And that's toll free from any place. 888-221-8990. Now, what happens is, again, back into these 403Bs, 457s, 401Ks, these can be rolled, meaning you take it from your employer and put it into your own account, and that's a tax-free exchange. It's a rollover. We also call them a transfer. Now, the companies have specific words. If it's sitting with a company and you take it away from the company, that's a rollover. If it's already your account and you're going to transfer it from the bank to a broker or from the broker to a bank, that's a transfer. So it's just magic words, right? Every business has to have its words that doesn't make any difference, but that's what it is.
That's how attorneys get paid.
That's it. And that's why they write all these things, making it more difficult.
That's right.
And then once everybody knows it, then they've got to change it so they can get paid again, right?
Yes.
It's just like going into Walmart, right? Once you learn where everything is, they have to change it.
They do it all the time.
I know.
It's frustrating.
You know, I think it's a rule of life, Alan. I've always said, if it works, change it. If it doesn't work, leave it the same. I mean, there's no logic with either one of those statements, but it just seems to be some of the rules of life.
Works for me.
Yeah, right. 1-888-221-8990.
Joe, let's talk a couple of minutes about one of your favorite investments, the variable annuity. Mm-hmm. A neighbor of mine isn't able to listen to the show live, but he's got a couple of questions.
Okay.
His first question is there a mandatory distribution on variable annuities?
Well, if it's an IRA, the answer is yes.
Okay, so...
If it's not, the answer is no.
So it can be an IRA.
Oh, absolutely.
And then his second question is he's heard you say on previous shows that it's not really for younger people, but he said if he's more oriented toward conservative safety with growth, what's wrong with doing that because of the fact that he'll always get the upside and doesn't have to worry about the downside?
Well, the rules for most annuity contracts are the same as for IRAs, meaning if you take money out prior to 59 and a half, you could have a penalty. So the concept is they're designed not for short-term money. They're designed for retirement money.
No, but he's saying putting some of his money in, like beginning at the age of 30 and building up the annuity as his long-term investment.
And that's okay. Okay. Now, not every company allows people that young. So that's another thing you have to know, which companies allow somebody in their 30s or 20s, whatever, to go into them. Because they know that the concept of these people being able to stay in that program all the way to 59 and a half, things come up. And they cash them in, now they're going to have a penalty. So they try to discourage the younger people from going into, quote, this retirement type account because of fear that they'll end up taking a penalty. It might be not a wise decision. So when I counsel somebody, I want to make sure they understand the ramifications. Having an insured investment is a magnificent thing, especially if you're not so young, because when you get to be our age, even younger, you know, like people say, you know, Joe, you're not past your prime, you're in double overtime, you know, cause you should have died a long time ago. Well, okay, I'm not against all that. But the key thing is your attitude changes as you don't get younger. It was the old Will Rogers statement, and nobody young understands who Will Rogers is, but us old people do. He used to say, I'm not as worried about the return on my investment as I am worried about the return of my investment.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to lose money. So right. I've got clients that say, hey, Joe, I've got speculative money. I can afford to lose it. What should I do? Well, then it becomes high risk. You can buy stuff high risk, and sometimes high risk stuff works. I mean, look at Facebook, look at Microsoft, look at all these companies that we all wished we'd have bought when they first came out, and all of a sudden, they 10 times, 100 times, whatever they are worth. So you hit a home run. Last home run I had was back during the recession. All the automobile companies were getting bailed out, but Ford Motor Company didn't take any money. But the share prices got down to $1.18 or $1.20 a share. And so there was a group of us, when I would talk to people, I'd say, you know, I don't think Ford's going to go out of business. They turned down government money, and this is almost free money. I think it's going to win, and it did. It got up to $17, $18 a share. When you can do 10 times your money, that's called a home run in a short period of time, especially, and it was a short period of time. So there's no guarantee any one company can do that, but it seemed like a decent gamble at the time. Now, and again, it's a gamble. You know, when you buy one company, I don't care which company it is, we used to think General Electric was
solid, safe.
And guess what? All of a sudden, they've collapsed. And they're still in business, and they probably will survive. But boy, if you had General Electric stock that you paid $80 or $100 for and it gets down to $15, you're a little upset. You know, so
yes, you are.
Just to put it mildly, right?
But, you know, speaking about home runs, we were talking about this on the morning show, Muntz TV. Joe, tell that story about you and Madman Muntz.
Do you remember? Well, you're
I
not.
I remember Muntz.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's in Detroit. My dad was a milkman. Now, he was doing pretty well, but we're living in a flat, you know, upstairs and downstairs, rental apartment, and I'm like 4 years old, 5 years old, and TVs were just coming out. This is the late 40s, early 50s, and TVs cost a fortune. I mean, it was like almost like buying a car back then. They would cost so much money. Nobody really could afford them, but Madman Muntz came up and says, free home trial. You can take this for 2 weeks or a month and don't pay a dime. Well, so my old man, my father, he got one. Well, you know what happened? Every neighbor, and I mean every neighbor for blocks, came over to see that TV. Every relative for miles came to see that. Every shirt tail relative came to see it. When it came time to give it back, he couldn't give it back because he told everybody he owned it. Well, the old man was a little bit weak when it came to that kind of stuff, but Madman Muntz made a bundle of money selling TVs back then that way. And then, of course, we all know what's happened to the price of TVs. And, of course, that was black and white. There was only three shows on a day at the beginning. You remember back in the day. It was interesting times. But the little tiny screen in that great big box. Did you ever have to walk down to the street to go and take tubes and test tubes? Did you ever do that?
No. Oh, I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
You had to pull a tube out, and you had to go down to the store, or the grocery, not whatever it was. They had a tube tester, and you could buy new tubes that mm-hmm. you could put in. They were just things that we, in our past, right?
Right.
Today, you can get a 55-inch TV for $300. It's unbelievable.
Well, how many younger people know what a Victrola is?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let alone long play records or all that kind of stuff.
Well, now, something you spoke about, you're just speaking about how the TVs used to be and how they are now. But any new product that comes out, let's say, now you're thinking as an investor, okay? A company comes out with a brand new product. It's cutting edge. We know it's going to be expensive. Why is it expensive?
Well, first of all the research and development to bring out a new company, a new product, it's all front-loaded. They've really spent a lot of money. So let's say you and I start a company and we're selling widgets. And each widget we sell for $10. And we sell 10 a week. That's a whole big $100. So we're not making any money. But we don't want to raise the price any higher than 10. But all of a sudden, we start selling 1,000 a day. Mm-hmm. Well, we all of a sudden can afford to sell them for $9 instead of 10. And then Alan comes along and says, hey, I know those guys, what they're making. I can make that same thing and sell it for $7. And then I'll cut them off at the knee, and that's what he does. So then what we have to do is lower our price to $6.50 so we can compete with Alan on our own product that we started.
Right.
So what happens, competition is good for the consumer. New people come along and they have a product when it first comes out. Invariably, it's not going to be as cheap as when a period of time goes and it gets successful. And very often, too, when we first do this product, Dave, we're in our garage and we're making them by hand. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we now have robots and machinery and high-tech people making them 10,000 of them a month, where it took us a month to make 10. So technology has a way of bringing the prices way down. And TVs are the best example in the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
I wish it'd work for cars.
Or pizzas, yeah. But also, in competition creates new technologies to make the production better and cheaper. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. You know, this is why America is the land of milk and honey, because we have free enterprise. We allow people to invent, to take chances and take risk. We're not held back by the government. And that's why this current administration is so against government interference, letting people that want to be self-employed or develop something or build it, able to do it. Every time the government seems to get in and put it costs the consumer more money. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to protect the consumer, so let's charge them more money. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know,
right. Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, look at how blessed we are in this country to be living in America. And one of the examples of that is technology. We are fantastic in technology. Yep. Look at China. Their rules are that you have to do business in China, you have to turn over your technology to them at this point. And our President Trump is trying to put a stop to that. But, I mean, it's a compliment to America that other countries are begging to find out how we're making this technology.
We are blessed people, and we didn't do this on purpose. Every one of us that was born here, it's just by accident. We could have been born any place. And I've been all over the world, and I tell you, every time I come back, I say, wow. Nobody lives like we do.
If I may tell a brief technology story, when I was in college, I was working for the public radio station in Milwaukee, and they had these big Ampex reel-to-reel tapes. That's how we put programming on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
And the United States, actually, Ampex was the inventor of how to process these videotapes and get them, audio tapes at that time, how to get them on the air. Well, Ampex, in a recession, ran into some trouble, and they asked the government for a $2 million bridge loan. And the government said no. And so what did Ampex do? They sold the technology of these tapes to the Japanese, And the Japanese was the premier country in making videotape recorders that came out. So American technology, which our government didn't support for right. $2 million, went to the Japanese, and certainly the Japanese made great VCRs, but it took away a lot of American jobs. And government policy in economics, or in anything for that matter, is extremely important, and that's why it's important to vote, to know your leaders, and to have a game plan whether things are going bad or good.
1-888-221-8990. Great job. What's that mean?
That means you gave them the phone number.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's a new sign.
That's a new sign.
I just made it. We're into affirming
here.
Well,
you know, well, how come it says dummy on the side of it?
That's the other side says phone number.
Well, that's the other side. I see it.
When you give it, you get that.
1-888-221-8990. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, we understand that. Not, we don't like it necessarily, but you're supposed to keep this number handy because you can call it anytime. Talk to Pastor Dave, Tom, Jonathan, and they will take your name and number and have us call you back, and we'll help anybody we can, any way we can. 1-888-221-8990. Now, back to investments. What I look at, and Alan, you know, we know this, as part of getting licensed and doing things, you're supposed to know your client, know their objectives, and know their risk tolerance. So what do they want to accomplish? So somebody says, well, I want to make 25% a year on my money. I said, okay, you're what's called a high risk taker. Well, wait a minute, I don't want to be a high risk taker. What do you want to be? I want to be extremely conservative. Okay, then go to the bank and make your one or two. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to make more. Well, in this conversation, we have to find out what your risk tolerance is, what it really is, and the fact, let you be educated that you can change it. So then comes the insured investment. You know, I talk about this a lot. You have an investment, like let's just say last year the S&P 500 was up 19%, and you were invested in this insured investment in the S&P 500, and you were up 19%. You're a very happy camper. Now, is it always going to go up 19% of year? Of course not. Can it go down? Of course it can, because the market goes up and down. It never goes straight up and it never goes straight down, but it could have periods of time that can go for a long period of time, even years, where the market might crash and take a long time for it to come back. I had a client come in to see me some months ago, and he says, I had this other broker and I had $1.5 million and now I'm down to $1 million. And the broker says, well, give me some time and I'll get it back. He says, I'm 80. How much time do you think I've got? Well, here comes again your time horizon. Now, if you're 40 or 50, you normally have a much longer time horizon than somebody that's 70 or 80. So you have to plug all that stuff in to come up with what needs to be done. So I normally try to separate money into two piles, what I call short-term money, money you might need in a short period of time. Very short period of time, less than a year, that should be in the bank. That should be in the bank, you know, because nobody can sit and guarantee you that that money is going to be worth more if you put it in today. You got to pay commissions or fees, whatever you have to pay, and then you want to get it back out. Sometimes you end up with less money than you started with. Now, in the bank, you're not going to make a lot of money, but if you want to keep it liquid where you can go today or tomorrow or next week or next month buy a car or furniture or whatever, that money should be in the bank. I always tell people, depending on the size of your family, $5,000 to $10,000 should always be in the bank. Over and above that, now you can start investing. Now, I have had people say, Joe, no, I've got $2,000, this is all I've got. I don't care about the bank. I don't care about the family. I want to invest this, and I want to risk every dime of it because $2,000 is never going to make me rich. So I want to take a wild swing and hope it works. If I lose every dime, it's okay. All right, well, as long as you sign a piece of paper that says all that stuff, I'm okay, because I don't want to be the one that took your last $2,000 and we bought something that went out of business.
So you make a very good point, Joe, and that is when you talk about risk and risk tolerance, you don't have to put all of your money in one area of risk. In other words, if you're a mostly conservative investor, you can put 80% of your money in conservative investments and put 10% in moderately risky investments and maybe 10% in risky investments.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And you don't, and this happens all the time. When I talk about an insured investment, yeah, we're doing well. The economy is doing well. Yes, the insurance company comes up and says, hey, we're going to protect you in case you die on a wrong day so that your family's protected. And we're going to protect you in case you don't die. You're living a long time. We're going to guarantee you income. But nobody wants to have these things happen. We all want the market to do well so we can cash this in and have a good time with it. But the insurance companies, again, my and compliance people say, I'm supposed to tell you that you have to know which insurance company you're dealing with and their claims paying ability. So I only like dealing with what I say the top rated, the best companies in the business, household names most of the time. And most of them, luckily today, have the best programs on the market for people. So the concept is let's earn a decent return, but let's protect it. And if you want to do short-term money, again, short-term money, under 6 months or under a year, it really should be in the bank. Now I've got people contributing $2,000 and $3,000 every month into retirement accounts. I'm trying to catch up, and because hey, they're not immortal anymore. All of a sudden, you know, this old age sneaks up on you, and if you don't die, you're going to need money. So
that's what I've heard.
So all these things have to go into the hopper when we sit down and talk and try to figure out what is in your best interest. And as Alan said, very often I will do an insured investment for somebody, and then they'll come up, well, you've got anything, Joe, that pays more? Well, of course. Still, I've seen some REITs, mortgage REITs, very good today that are still paying a 10 and 12% dividend. Well, that's dynamite. I need to know people that need that income in order to maintain their lifestyle. Is this the smartest thing long-term? Well, could be, might not be, but the key is this: to watch them and understand what's going on with the economy, because everything that I do is liquid, meaning I can get in today and I can get out tomorrow. I don't have to be stuck with something. And that you got to be very careful with that, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer, watching when people say you can get in and out of something. Look at penalties. Look at what it costs to get in. What's it cost to get out? If you can get out, if it's publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, you usually have pretty good liquidity, meaning I can buy it today, sell it tomorrow. But if it's not, you have to understand some things, they've got to go find somebody to buy it, and there may not always be a person available to buy it. 1-888-221-8990. And just from a personal standpoint, I hope I'm not here next week.
Well, you want to explain that, Joe?
Well, I was going to, but I was waiting to see if you would prompt me, which was very good. Took you a little while to catch that, but I was good. You know, you're a little slow on the pickup today, you know, but I could have leaned over here and picked on Pastor Dave, but I picked on him already, and he passed with good color. But normally, every year, I've been doing this for years and years and years, and I thank God every year, and I mean, I'm very sincere. I go to the Bahamas on my boat for 2 weeks. It's usually the end of June, and I come back around the 1st of July, and I go to the Abacos, and I've been to other islands, but I just island hop and just lay back and catch lobsters and fish and crystal clear water and anchor out and not necessarily go into marinas and stuff, and it's just breathtakingly beautiful, and I thank God every day that he allows me to do this. And every year I thank him for letting me go, then on the way back I say, you know, if you could give me one more year, I'd really be appreciative. And so far, it seems to work because he hasn't taken it away, but my boat's in repair right now. So I'm in this trepidation stage, trying to hope it gets in the water by Friday, day after tomorrow, so I can leave Saturday or Sunday. So, and then you might have no me next week. We might have to just put up with Alan and Pastor Dave. You never know. We'll wait and see how this thing evolves.
Trust God. God will take care of it. He always does.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990. Again, pretty much running out of time, but you can call the radio station anytime. Either Dave or Tom or Jonathan or Karen will take your name and number, and they'll give it out to whoever they can have to help you. Now, remember our group. We've got Greg Fasula, attorney. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Probably the hardest working realtor born. And when she says she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, don't go to sleep, because she will. This girl does exactly what she says every time. Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. What he's done for people is just magnificent, getting people into homes and helping people. Vince Rosino, CPA. Again, quality people. And the whole thing that I've tried to do over a period of years was assemble local professionals that are dependable and have integrity. The key thing in life, I think everybody knows, the word integrity is probably ranks right up there close to the top of what you should be if you're a professional, that when a person tells you something, you can depend on it. And that's how we've assembled the group. And Alan, you might attest to that because you've been hanging around for a year and a half.
And of course, the hardest worker in real estate, Victoria Lloyd.
Yeah, yeah.
And Greg Fasula.
Well, and Greg is just, again, as attorneys go, he's a superb person. And again, I've seen him help people. And I had one particular client, took stuff to him, and he spent an hour with her and says, "How much do I owe you?" And he says, "Nothing." And she goes, "Why not?" And he says, "Because you'll be back." Which she was in a flux with what she had. And that particular time was just not the right time in his mind to say, "Okay, fine, I'm going to charge it," because he wanted to help her long-term, not just short-term.
I just want to wish all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day coming up. Yeah. And Pastor Dave and Joe, of course, you are fathers. I am not. I never had that opportunity. But, of course, the Father that we have in heaven is our Father for eternity. And, of course, His Son
is with us. I got a couple of kids I might loan you for a while. How much money do you have?
Joe, you know, I'll put it on Facebook.
There you go.
Right? You know, that's very private, isn't it?
Yeah, right. 1-888-221-8990. Remember, you can call that number anytime, and they'll take your name and number and give it out to whoever can help you. And that's our job. That's our mission here, is to help people. And I think we almost are out of time. Would you say that's a fair statement, Dave?
We have this much time.
15? Well, if you're going to be navigating God's waters, I hope you have a wonderful trip and a wonderful voyage.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Be safe. Right.
Until next week, well, I think we're done.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
And if we don't praise Him, the earth will shout. Yeah.